Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here are your hosts, Nash Solomon and Tommy Call.
That's what the 49ers put in their hype video this morning. Tommy might have sent it to me five times before I got a chance to even watch it because he was so juiced.
It just, that song, man, just sticks in my head the whole time I was walking around the stadium today, driving up. What did we play right when we got in the car? Nash jumped in my car. We drove out here to the city right after leaving Santa Clara. What was the first song we
played? The Box, right there. And we're just big football guys, man. He was even sending me the Tennessee Titans hype videos. I think they also played that.
I'm a sucker for these hype videos. I really am.
LSU disappointed in the national championships video or no?
No.
It was electric?
Yeah. I didn't like the OBJ stuff.
How electric was the Niners one this morning?
I thought it was pretty good, man. I really thought it was great.
Those things get me so hyped, man.
Yeah, I was watching the fights last night with my dad and my sis and my mom and my girl and my sister's boyfriend. He's a big 49er fan.
Right.
And he was like just fired. He watched that video, tried to show it to me, was just walking around, like pacing around the house. He was so fired up.
Our very own Bobby Spang saw it this morning and said it was on repeat until 3:40. That's all he wanted in his visual until he saw that kickoff. And by the way, that kickoff ended up very well for the Niners when the buzzer rang 0-0-0-0, Tommy. 37-20, Niners win it. They booked their ticket to the Super Bowl. It's Nash Solomon. It's Tommy Call.
Help us book our ticket to the Super Bowl.
Well, that was one thing we teased. Will Tommy be in Miami?
We have any big fans with some big pockets?
hashtag get Tommy to Miami. My hashtag was get Nash to Levi's. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's a good nugget behind that. Every Niner game I've been in attendance to, thank you, Joe, Butcher Boy Shasky's obviously taking me all these games because he has season tickets. They have won by a margin of at least 17 points in every single one of these games. I am the good luck charm.
People call that a good luck charm.
I am convinced I am the good luck charm. 888-957-9570. We're taking your calls all night. Matt Nahegan gave me strict instructions when we were walking through the hallways the other day. He said, you're not done until the calls are done.
Yeah, and you know, we got a text, we got some emails going through that said, hey, if you guys feel free to go to 1 in the morning, feel free to go to 2 in the morning. Our guy behind the glass, Joe Spadoni, he's like, go to 3 in the morning, go to 4 in the morning. He said he doesn't got anything to do.
He's been here since 3 p.m., and he wants to be here till 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, he's a new father, and I will say, Joe, we love you. We love your baby, bro. But I will
baby
say
Joe.
This. Yeah, baby Joe. No, Joe, please. Introduce your son to the broadcast. This is your floor if you want to.
Oh, man.
Oh, Benny Spadoni?
How to get that out of the way. We just want to give Joe some love because Joe's holding it down. He's going to end this night with probably a 9 or 10 hour shift. So we love you, Joe.
Love you guys. Appreciate that.
Shout out
in California.
Yeah. There it is.
Nick and Berkeley's hitting us up on the text line. Didn't you call early, Nick? He's saying Kittle and Juice, number 44, blocking their butts off. Give them some credit. That's what we do here.
And we did.
We give credit to the big uglies.
Because you know why? We look into the real reason these guys are playing football. Yeah. It's for the passion. And the passion shows when you see that these guys love to block. Mm. I mean, I was the littlest guy out in the field whenever I played. But if I got a little mini pancake, which probably was because the dude tripped because I'm small, putting in my highlight tape.
Yeah, I loved. Oh, man. I love it. I love the blocking aspect of football, and I think that's why this team is so likable from the people who truly do just love football, because they're kind of flipping the script on what like is super successful in football. This modern offense is where you're gonna shotgun every single play, receivers, throw it all over the place, and Kyle Shanahan is just running it right up the middle on people. But with all that being said, Nash, and you always give it to me straight when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo. You tell me if I'm too easy on him, things like that. Are you, worried at all about his lack of production in the playoffs? If that, I mean, that's a bad way of putting it, maybe not the most fair way, but like the fact that he is not putting up numbers, throwing touchdowns, spreading the ball out a little bit, and they have been so run heavy, is that in the back of your head at all? That, well, maybe that's a, you know, I don't know.
You know where I stand on this, and right. I've always thought you need a very talented quarterback to win the Super Bowl, to get to the Super Bowl, to win you big games. Because in any given game, there's gonna come a moment where you need to rely on the quarterback.
Yeah.
And man, I think tonight really disproved my theory. And I think it really proved that this team's doing things we've never seen teams do in the last two decades, really. Mm. Where, and I'm talking about, obviously, one of the decades being the 2020s. Doesn't really count. But the entire 2010s, and maybe majority of the 2000s, it was really what? Just Trent Dilfer and his Ravens. And that really was because the defense was so dominant. I mean, how can a team with a quarterback's lack of production, and not because he's not talented enough, but because they choose and they elect not to have him pass it. How are they so successful? And it's because they're doing things. It's a copycat league. You're going to probably see teams do this more often. They're doing things where they're creating their own wave. They're creating their own lane to success. Mm. And, I mean, going into Miami to play Kansas City, it's going to be interesting because we're seeing two polar opposite teams. One plays great defense, and they love to run the ball. The other don't really care about defense that much, but they did get better on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. And they are, as you would say, electric on offense. The Kansas City theory I always talk about. They can score on one play any given play.
I mean, we saw a 24-0 lead. Yeah,
exactly. And I really don't know what to think going into Miami. Yeah. I don't know if Kyle thinks, listen, we've kind of had Jimmy in our pocket for when we really need him, and I'm comfortable putting the ball back in his hands. Mm. I mean, right now, if I did have one critique, I would just say this. If the game relied on Jimmy, then maybe I'm a little bit worried. But guess what? I've learned it's not going to. It doesn't have to
get to that point.
It doesn't have to.
I was talking to Carl up there, and I was saying, man, this just, it feels easy. It feels easy what they've done over these last 2 weeks. Really, Nash, since the playoffs have started, it's never been in doubt. It really hasn't.
It really hasn't.
And it's almost shocking because you're looking at these battles that these teams have had to go through to get to this point in the of the season, year in and year out. It's really, really hard getting to the Super Bowl. And it seems like the 49ers, for their final five games of the season, that's when they had to play at that elite level. Where these last two games, it just seems like it's like we're just rolling at a level where no one can touch us.
It,
and that's
looks
how this
flawless
team is playing. It does. That's what I was saying. I was saying it was a flawless, my column that I wrote about the game, posted up on 957thegame.com. That was
must
it.
Read,
flawless,
by the way.
A flawless game plan. I mean, masterful, clinical, tactical, whatever you want to call it. The game plan from Kyle Shanahan alone in this thing was just fantastic in my opinion, where it was just all they needed to do was run the football and run it up the middle, Nash.
It's just so incredible how a team's doing what they're doing with different guys every single week.
Every single week.
It's Patriot-esque in a sense, but it's almost like they're doing it better. Yeah. It's almost like yes, there was the Jonas Gray game where he had 200 yards. I mean, Raheem Mostert has had multiple games where he looked like he was an all-NFL running back.
Yeah.
And that obviously goes back to Kyle. That goes back to the running game coordinator. You love him so much. That goes back to the front five, the offensive line, George Kittle, Ross Dwelly when he's out there, and most importantly, Kyle Juszczyk. Well, I mean, what they're doing is, I mean, let's look at Miami in a couple weeks, 2 weeks from today. Mm. I mean, if you're Kyle, what are you thinking right now? Initial thoughts. I mean, obviously not this early, but are you thinking we're probably going to have to pass the ball, or do you want to stay on the ground, do what you do best, play keep away?
I think right now, with how great they are keeping it on the run, I think they just haven't hit that point where I'm sure in the you know, one branch of the game plan is all these easy throws drawn out for Jimmy Garoppolo to get the football to George Kittle, to get the ball to Deebo Samuel in the intermediate and let them do their thing. But it just hasn't hit that point. And they've been so gashing and so dominant when it's come to running the football, where I don't know how you go away from that. I don't know how you go away from it. And if you're a 49er fan, I would love to hear why you'd want to stop the run game and try and develop a pass. Because I think if you go into this game against the Kansas City Chiefs and you say, we got to match them, that's why you're getting trouble.
I mean, obviously we have plenty of time to discuss that going into it. Right now we're focusing on tonight. And yes, we'll look ahead a little bit because it's so important to how the Niners have played the last few weeks and what they should or probably going to have to play in a couple weeks. I will say this. When Jimmy has been pressured and forced to be in a game where he had to throw the ball, he was successful.
Yeah.
I mean, the New Orleans games comes to mind, obviously. He obviously played himself in a shootout and played in big moments. And let's be real. This is obviously the most underrated receiving core probably in the NFL. Mm. Definitely the playoffs, this entire playoff span. I mean, Deebo Samuel looks like he's already ready to be a number one receiver. Mm. And his ability for the yards after catch, running and bulldozing guys over.
They just haven't had to do it in the playoffs. They just haven't.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, George Kittle, obviously well-rested in a passing sense, the best tight end in football.
17 receptions. 17 passes.
Kendrick Bourne, maybe one of the most underrated third or fourth options you can have on a football team in their passing game. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, a savvy veteran. I mean, hell, your fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, has been comfortable catching the ball, and he says he loves catching the ball.
Think about this, Nash. The 49ers, in two playoff games, they've scored 64 points in those two playoff games.
Give me Jimmy's stats. I know you tweeted that. I love seeing those.
They've had 17 completions, and they've scored 67 points. 64 points. It does not make sense.
I mean, I wonder the last time a team did that.
If I were to tell you right now, well, I think they were comparing Jimmy Garoppolo's stats to something. I was looking on Twitter, and it was like since 1994, a quarterback hasn't had this style, these style of statistic games and made it this far in the season.
Almost.
But I mean, seriously, Nash, if I went to you and I said, hey, in two playoff games, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have 17 completions, you'd be like, oh, man, their defense have better be playing out of their minds.
Yeah,
right?
I would be like, oh, is the game 6-3?
Yeah.
Because obviously,
64 points. That's 32 points a game.
Or did he go 17-80 and was just throwing ducks?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really impressive because, I mean, Jimmy has this mantra about him where, yes, he was developed in a winning culture organization with the Patriots. And, yes, he always plays kind of with a chip on his shoulder because, I mean, he'll always be compared to Tom. He comes from an FCS school, D1AA. Yet he's still so humble. And he doesn't get this notion about him, but he still has swagger. Like, he wants to win games, and he doesn't care if it's about him.
He really doesn't. Yeah.
And I think that's really what Kyle's like, too.
Jordan's in the locker room after the game.
Fire. Whew.
It was like some pink.
And I just see a lot of similarities. Yeah. And, I mean, you have to see it more in the locker room than I do with Kyle and Jimmy. Mm. From a personality standpoint, sure, Jimmy's probably more outspoken, has kind of more of a charismatic tone to his vibe. But doesn't it seem like both these guys kind of have, like, you know what? When it comes to football, we're all about one thing, and that's swagger.
Yeah.
Like, they know in their head, ain't nobody stopping us, and we don't care what way it's going to be.
And like I said earlier in the program, it's business-like. But I got a text here from the 510, Nash, and I think it's just interesting because your team, your favorite team in the NFL, they have made it to the Super Bowl a couple times in your lifetime. You've got to watch that. But, you know, my team's never made it there in my life. They said, like, how come there's no watch party for the Super Bowl, but there was watch party for, like, the World Series and the NBA Finals? One, I think that, and that's from the 510, I think that that'll probably, like, get announced at some
point.
Still
in the works. Obviously, two weeks away.
Yeah, I'm sure we will do something at 95.7 The Game. You know it'll be cracking. Nash and I will probably be there for an out in Miami getting after it with you people. But where do you watch a big game like this? Where do you watch the Super Bowl? I mean, you got to be thinking about that, like, because it's not like
if
this
it's your
is,
team, I will say this. If it's your team, you better be watching in the comfort of your own home. Mm. That's just me. I will say this, though, about us having a watch party. I'm sure it's in the works. I'm sure all of us that work here will be a part of the decision process. So if you have any ideas, by all means, please text in. We're always all
for
that.
I want to go to Chef's house.
Yeah,
make those
by
wings.
All means, yeah. Yeah. And I do know this. It's not set in stone, but one of the shows will probably be bouncing around the Bay Area in the next 2 weeks because they want to come to the fans.
Yeah.
Now, that's not set in stone, but expect remote shows and respect opportunities. Sorry, not respect, but expect opportunities. Expect opportunities to meet the host and come meet us and come meet all the other shows and probably watch the game with them. Now, we will have people in Miami. We don't know who that's going to be yet, but you will have opportunities to meet all the guys and watch the games with them. But we do want to know that. 888-957-95.
Yeah, I want to know where you watch, how you handle, because, you know, one of my favorite days, honestly, it doesn't really matter about the game because it's to me, it's not really about the game anymore, but I love the Super Bowl Sunday. I love throwing down some dips, throwing down some grilling, whatever it takes.
You have an iconic dip that I've had before.
It's turned into quite the famous dip around these parts because I brought it out. It's my specialty at this point. I make a buffalo chicken dip.
Oh, man.
And so I bring that around, and that's usually a Super Bowl favorite.
Well, that's a Super Bowl dish. I mean, 88957.
But I'm just saying now, though, you're throwing all the snacks out of it. You're locking in a dark room watching your TV, maybe make a run at a championship. History, Nash. Raising banners.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. I mean, where do you watch the Super Bowl? Give us your reaction to tonight's game. We're taking your calls all night. It's Nash Solomon. It's Tommy Call. Don't you worry. We got you covered. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy, initial thoughts or initial feelings when you saw the confetti fall in Levi's tonight?
I just thought that this was one of the most masterful, perfectly executed game plans that I think Kyle Shanahan is cementing himself as a top five coach in the NFL. I think this guy is just really hitting on all cylinders. And I think arguably if he wins the Super Bowl, you consider him right up there with Bill Belichick and whoever else you want to consider.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, I think that this guy is just really hitting on everything right now. I think it's all working for Kyle Shanahan. I think this was a punctuation mark on this season, on the statement. I almost feel like the way Kyle does things, and there's like, I know our 49er fan base out there, they love this hashtag of disrespectful Kyle, where I'm like thinking in my head where this guy ran the football 47 times against the Minnesota Vikings. That's a big number.
Nobody does that.
That's a big, big number. And I'm thinking in my head going, no way he does that again. And they're running the football, and they're running the football, and they're running the football. And then you look at it and you go, Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't thrown it since the second quarter. And I'm thinking, is this guy trolling us? Is this guy trolling everybody right now just shoving the football down our throats in the run game where we are so love watching pass happy football? And Kyle Shanahan has this offensive guru, and he is just literally smacking around other offensive gurus. Think about it. He has all of these guys up and down his team, where it's Zach Taylor, whether it's Sean McVay, whether it's Matt LaFleur, two times. I mean, absolutely making them look silly to the point of where I'm calling it embarrassing.
Well, I want to stop. You mentioned all those names, and you said a few minutes ago that Kyle Shanahan's going to be right up there with Bill Belichick if he wins this Super Bowl, wins this game.
He's in the top five.
I'm not denying that, but we're going to see the Sean McVay effect happen. All those names you just mentioned are going to be in consideration for head coaching jobs, and you've hammered a couple of those names for a while, and that just goes to show what Kyle Shanahan is doing as a play caller, as an offensive guru. Talk about being an offensive guru. He's literally rewinding a sport. That'd be like in basketball if a coach came in and said, we're shooting mid-range jumpers all game.
No, we're going to take it to the post.
Yeah, we're feeding. I want two centers out there all game.
Yeah.
I want
back to the basket basketball.
Yeah, it's so
up and
incredible
down the court.
What he's doing and his ability to mask maybe some players' types of
instead
flaws.
Of trying to consider and advancing the pass game and doing all these things in the past where you're going to make the pass better. You're going to do this in the pass. You're going to draw up all these crazy plays and draw guys open. Instead, he's flipping that upside and go, we're going to run the damn football.
Well, speaking of running the damn football, there's been a guy that's been on me a lot about Jimmy and my takes on Jimmy, and I'm sure that's why he's called in, and he's a dear friend of ours, and honestly, he has no case to be made about Jimmy tonight other than he's a winner and he's been handling and getting the job done, but I'm going to give him the floor. He's a great buddy of ours. He's a fantastic host right here at 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey.
Mystery guest.
I hear he's coming back from the game. Covey, what's holler at me? What's happening?
Hey, Jimmy did his thing today. Hey, when you can run the rock like that, you don't need Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball. We all know Jimmy can throw the bill, and he looks the part either way. First of all, fellas, you sound great. I'm appreciating the show. I'm driving back from the city right now. Can we just acknowledge for a moment how amazing Kyle Shanahan's offensive game plan was today? We're going to run the rock till they can stop it. They couldn't stop it. Packers ain't all about that tackle in life. Tommy, we talked about it yesterday. The Vikings defense scared me more than the Packers. When we went off the air yesterday, I said, man, honestly, I'm going to keep it real. I feel like the Niners are going to beat the brakes off of them. And
you
that's
did.
Exactly what happened. They're just a better football team.
I was worried, Covey. I was telling you, I said, I thought that this game was going to be damn near close. I thought that Packers even had a chance of winning. I thought for sure they were going to cover, and they straight smacked them, Covey.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you guys were talking a lot about Kyle Shanahan. I think, you know, Kyle Shanahan obviously is a brilliant offensive mind, but it's not just about getting to the Super Bowl, boys. You got to go and win the damn thing. You don't want to be the next Andy Reid who still hasn't won it. You know, maybe he will now. What about Jim Harbaugh? Think about how we look at Sean McVay now. Like, you know, you get the chance to go to the dance. Okay, fair enough. But you want to take home prom king. You know what I mean? And that's what Kyle Shanahan's trying to do. It's going to be a hell of a game, guys. I mean, the Chiefs ain't no joke. Let's face it. But think about this, guys. The Chiefs came out flat in both of those home games at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So the 49ers came out with that intent. I still think Richard Sherman is in their ear. You hear Richard Sherman chirping up about the Packers. their time. Like, it's crazy to think that we're here after, you know, what the first 2 years looked like under Shanahan. But that's where we're at. And the way they're running the rock, Raheem Mostert, like, are you kidding me?
Unreal.
I'm feeling getting tackled.
Well, Kobe, I want to ask you this, because you mentioned how masterful Andy Reid is and how masterful Kyle Shanahan can be. Going into Miami this Super Bowl, who's more likely to control the pace of the game? And what I mean by that is Kyle loves to run the ball and has proved that he can rewind the game of football, but Andy Reid wants to blow up that scoreboard, wants to throw it downfield to Mahomes' special arms. What coach has the ability to control the pace and tempo of this game?
Well, I mean, think about it, fellas. When you can run the rock, that's when you can control the clock. Like, if you're throwing the ball all over the place, even if you're moving the ball with success, you know, those drives tend to be, you know, a couple of minutes. Think about how quick the Chiefs can score. Now, that's dangerous, of course, but if the 49ers can run the ball, we know the Chiefs can't run the ball like the Niners can, not even close. So it's really, if the Niners can run the ball the way they have the last couple of weeks, that shortens up the number of possessions for Pat Mahomes. Now, the Niners are, you know, probably aren't going to blow them out, but what it does do is keep the Chiefs close to them at all times, right? I don't think the Chiefs are capable of blowing out the San Francisco 49ers. I just don't. Their defense is too good. And, you know, yeah, to answer your question, Nash, I mean, the Niners running the rock. Now, the Tevin Coleman injury, we'll have to see what happened there. You know, how serious it is. I don't know if you guys have heard. I've been off the grid for the last couple hours, but it looked pretty bad. So, you know, I guess we'll find out more tomorrow. But, you know, between Mostert and Breida and maybe Jeff Wilson Jr. get some touches, I think the Niners will still be able to run the ball on the Chiefs. And, hey, let's face it, man. You know, when Jimmy's been called upon, he can throw. I know the Chiefs' pass defense got a lot better this year, but I still think if they need Jimmy to throw 25, 30 times, he can do it. That's not what Kyle's trying to do, though. He's trying to run the rock 45 times.
Wow. And I got to ask you this, Covey, before you know, you're done with us here, is your perspective, guy. I love getting a life lesson from Covey. It's something I strive to every time I'm working with you. And right now,
I love you, Tommy.
This is something that it's crazy to me. I'm sitting here walking into the studio, leaving the game. You know, I was walking around the field, just kind of looking around, seeing the confetti down on the field, going, man, this team is going to the Super Bowl. I mean, this team had 4 wins last year. I mean, realistically, I was trying to say, I don't know if they get 8 wins. Like, I wasn't a believer in any of it. I thought they were a year away still, and I thought they needed just more talent in general. But, Covey, do you have just – thinking about, like, are you surprised? Are you shocked? If you were to try to, you know, put this whole season in a bottle, what would you say about it? Because I'm surprised. It's surreal. It really is.
Bro, hashtag sports, baby, right? I mean, you know, that's why they play the games. And, you know, I think we all saw even Kyle Shanahan the first 2 years with subpar talent. You know, he's got C.J. Beathard keeping it close, almost beating the Packers in Lambeau. They lost 5 games his first year by a total of 13 points, right, that 5-game losing streak. So you knew they were close. Like, rarely did they get blown out. And, you know, you bring in Richard Sherman last year, you start to change the identity. Obviously, when Jimmy tears his ACL, your season's done last year, but that sets you up to go get Nick Bosa this year. And, I mean, think about it. Like, I heard you guys talking about Jed York and, you know, realizing the errors of his ways, bringing in Kyle Shanahan, giving him autonomy, giving him control of the roster. Shanahan picks John Lynch. Jed York fades back and says, football people make the football decisions. You got plenty of room to operate. There was no pressure on these guys even after 2 straight losing seasons. It was, look, we know this is going to be a process. And, you know, honestly, I didn't see it coming to this level. I don't think anybody did. I thought they'd be a lot better. I've always believed in Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, winning is the name of the game, and,
yes,
and that's all that dude's has done in his career. So, you know, I'm a believer in that. But, you know, I'd be lying if I told you I saw this coming. Having said that, I mean, the NFC was vulnerable this year. Niners took advantage, caught some breaks. I mean, the Ravens get eliminated. The freaking Saints get eliminated. I mean, they hosted the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, and then they hosted the Packers, a team they'd already beaten the crap out of earlier in the season. So things are breaking fortuitous for them, and now they're going to go up against Andy Reid, a dude that's shown time and time again he can't get over the hump. So, timing and hashtag sports would be my take on this season, because you always got a chance, baby.
Covey, we love you. We know you got a beautiful pup and a beautiful fiance to get home to. Appreciate the call, brother. Can't wait to see you in studio and hear your fire takes with Butch. You know he's going to be screaming.
Get after
so,
it tonight.
Take some Advil starting tonight to be ready for Butch.
No doubt. You guys sound great, man. do your all thing. Much love, boys.
We love you, brother.
Love it,
have a
good one.
Have a good one,
bro. Man, it's real family out here tonight. You know, talking to all of our people, Nash and I, you know, we love saying, oh, you know, you're the young pups, all those things around here in the studio and things like that. But, you know, talking to Bonte, Butch, JD, now Covey, man, everybody's just reaching
out.
All
our mentors,
bro. It's just fam, man. It really is. And it's I got some good vibes.
Yeah,
I really
man.
Do. And I see our boy on hold, too, oh, which I can't wait
to
talk
to
him.
We're about to get to him in a second, but talking about all the guys you just mentioned, I mean,
yeah,
these guys obviously hold a special place in the heart, man, because this industry is not easy. And this industry can be obviously really petty, and people don't like to see young guys come up in the ranks. But the culture we have established here, all these guys are rooting for us because we're a damn team out here, man. And that's what I love about all these guys. And they've all chimed in with us tonight. We've talked to all of our guys that have been in our corner ever since. And I'm about to go to another guy that's been in our corner since our very first show together November 3rd. Wonderful Niner. He's in the sunset. I saw him today. I gave him a wave from across. Didn't get a chance to talk to him in person, but wonderful Niner. I'm glad I get to talk to you tonight.
When I'm having a down day, I just think that I need a text from the wonderful Niner to make me feel better.
He got my phone number. He spit off some takes here
and
there. Wow. Wonderful Niner. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. It's tough to go after Covey. That guy is purely electric, you know?
Oh.
Yes, he is.
But Nash and Tommy, you guys are like pocket rockets. You guys are quickly becoming my favorites here. You guys are just fired up. In regards to confetti tonight, first of all, just reflecting back, I'm so glad we fought hard to get that number one seed to get everyone healthy. Hashtag Greenlaw is forever legendary.
Yes.
Secondly, let's remember that the great Bill Walsh said that winners act like winners before they're winners. Champions behave like champions before they are champions. And Tommy Shanahan is the younger, futuristic built type of Bill Walsh. Shanahan is creating here a proven winning culture with Levi's as a true home field advantage. And when you parlay that with all the 49er faithfuls that have been here from the beginning, coming from Candlestick to now Levi's as a home, this Levi's house becomes our home. And Nash, that's exactly the reason why we dominated today and why we are going to win it all and become Super Bowl champions. And lastly, to Aaron Andrews, you better believe that it's going to feel great, baby.
Before you give us the mic drop, I want to ask you one thing. Are you still there?
Yeah, Nash, what's up?
I know you're a gambling guy. I know you like to parlay your over-unders and the spreads. What did you take tonight, and did it hit?
You know what? I took I took the 49ers for minus 7.5. And
money.
I took them. I also took them for the first quarter parlay with them winning the game. So that one paid out. So.
Hey. Ooh, good picks, man. Hey, I'm going to come to you for our Super Bowl picks. So call in next time.
I've never met Wonderful Niner yet. I never got to meet him.
I know. I see him all the time, man. And he runs up to me, says what's up.
Yeah.
I always got to take a photo of him and send it to you. And he wanted the photo last time. It was on somebody else's phone. So he had gotten my number from James Pappas, another employee here at 95.7 The Game. And I'll tell you what. Him having my number was one of the best things I've ever had since working in this industry because he fires off the takes.
Yeah.
And we know me and you are some takes. We know me and you love firing off takes. We're up against your Tommy.
Okay.
So on the other side, I want some takes about tonight. I need your three biggest pros and your three biggest cons from tonight. So we need the three and three. We'll call it the Larry Bird, the 3-3.
Ugh.
That's on the other
and
side.
And we got some texts. And the phone lines are open. Let's get it. We need some more callers here in the last 30 minutes. I know you're sitting at home. You got some takes right now. Let's go.
888-957-9570. Fire it up. Dial it in. My guy, Joe Spadoni, Benny Boy's father, is taking the phone calls. Nash Solomon, Tommy Call. This is Double Overtime. This is also 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Cheers.
Yes, sir. Tommy Call, Nash Solomon rolling on here in double overtime. We're following overtime that was with Bonte Hill and Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky. After the 49ers dominated in the NFC title game, claiming it and booking their trip to Miami to face the Kansas City Chiefs. And Tommy, I tease on the other side. Your three biggest pros and your three biggest cons. What do you want first? The positive or the negative? The floor is yours.
Yeah, so I want to, if it's fair to you, I kind of want to do like a positive and a negative, if this makes sense. That Jimmy Garoppolo not having to throw, right? I don't think that it's a positive necessarily or a negative. Like, you could pick your side when it comes to that. Because
you're putting it in the middle.
It's a positive in the fact that the 49ers haven't had to rely on him. The negative is he hasn't really shown this high level of passer in the playoffs, which is just it's a different breed. It's a different
animal.
Well,
to a degree, that can be a con, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a mixture.
Kyle Shanahan didn't condition him for this moment.
Yeah, and then honestly, my number one overall pro takeaway is the offensive line is playing flawless right now.
Yeah, we sure got that.
My second one is the D-line is playing as great as you could possibly want it to play to be. And honestly, my cons is nothing. These are blowing out teams and molly-whopping them.
Come on, Tommy, you ain't yelling, you ain't caring. You don't want to see this team improve?
I think, what do you want them to improve on? They literally, they destroyed Aaron Rodgers, and the Vikings game wasn't close.
No, it wasn't close at all. I do think there's maybe a few things. I mean, obviously, it all revolves around the passing game.
It does, but
which
like,
sucks.
How,
it's not really a
how
con.
Can you really judge 17 completions? I mean, come on.
No, well,
how
I mean,
can you judge?
That in itself can be problematic. But you're right. It's a product of Kyle Shanahan. So maybe the one, we'll do one flaw tonight because there's not that many cons. The one con tonight will be, well, if there's a situation where you have to pass the ball and the Niners, let's say the situation is Super Bowl where they have to pass the ball, then, I mean, maybe shame on Kyle for not conditioning Jimmy for that moment. But guess what? I really don't think it's going to get to that point. Mm. I think something we're not talking about enough tonight that I'm going to give one of my hats off pros to is the secondary. I mean, K'Juan Williams, Emmanuel Mosley, like not just in the passing game. Their ability
that punch
to tackle,
out was sick.
That's what I'm saying. Like their ability to get in the backfield and stop these guys at the line of scrimmage. This is the perfect secondary to play the perfect receiving core because we know how deep the Chiefs' receiving core can be. Now, they're fast. That can pose problems. But these guys are gritty. These guys are tough. These guys play with muscle. I mean, Mosley's one of the best open field tackling corners I've seen in a while. K'Juan Williams playing in the slot obviously has a big tackling responsibility. I mean, these are guys that, I mean, who gets Tyreek?
It starts with Richard Sherman, man.
Oh,
it's
of course.
It's the mentality. It's the message that he proves to that unit and that he does. I mean, it's just – it's crazy how much of a signing that was where when it was made, there were 49er fans everywhere. And we're always going to talk about this with Richard Sherman specifically that looked at this guy like he's a Seattle Seahawk. We hate him. He's that dude that it's easy to hate on. If he's not with you, you like to go at him. And he came here after this Achilles injury, and you're like, how much does he have left? Like, is he getting older? All these questions were around this guy. And it seems
always
like –
always gambled on himself.
And it seems like at this point, if you were to kind of power rank – the biggest moves that are the reason why the 49ers are in this position, I would put, I mean, maybe at the top, even more important than Jimmy Garoppolo, just because of the culture aspect, the confidence that he's given this team, is bringing in Richard Sherman, man. It's up there. Like, I think drafting George Kittle in the fifth round, getting to a point where you're able to have the Arizona Cardinals, who desperately needed a pass rusher, somehow, some way, some miracle, Cliff Kingsbury decides to become their coach and take Kyler Murray, number one overall, gifting you Nick Bosa at two. I mean, that's really high up there, the impact he's
who
had
would
this
they have
year.
Grabbed at two, in your opinion, if they didn't
Ollie
grab
Quinnen or maybe Josh Allen out of Kentucky?
And guys that probably are nothing compared to what Bosa's done this year, right?
I mean, even if you're good, Bosa just looks like our boy, you know, Butch loves to talk about that. This guy's a Hall of Famer.
That was a pretty good impression. I mean, I think one thing that Butch said tonight that's probably really valid, there's not another player defensively that you would trade Nick Bosa for.
Mm.
Just because he's so young and so gifted. And we've said it all year. It all starts with Bosa on defense. It all starts there.
It does.
But, I mean, the stage will really be his in the Super Bowl if he finds a way to cause havoc early on the most dominant player in football right now.
Pat.
Exactly. Like, maybe you want to say Lamar was. Lamar's really
man,
not.
Man, I need our girl Witt to call in.
We do need Witt to call in. We'll definitely hear from Witt. Wow, what kind of week is she going to have here in the next 2 weeks? Let's go out to Steven in Eastside San Jose. He's a 49ers day one. We want to hear from you guys. 888-957-9570. The floor is your guys until we have to go home, which means you guys are no longer calling in. But we still got callers. Steven, what's happening?
Hello. It's not Steven. It's
Stefan
from Eastside San Jose. Stefan Maldonado. And I just
my bad, bro. Hold on. My bad, bro. I'm sorry.
Team, and I'm proud of where they're at right now. And you know what? It's all gas. It's no brakes. And it's red and gold. So I'm dead and cold, and I think the Niners are going to do their thing, in the Super Bowl. And you guys have a good night. You guys take it easy, and I'm out.
Wow, that's a call right there.
He spit just a straight bar.
Just comes in, lays down a bar, have a good night. I'm going to let you guys handle it.
He said it's red and gold until I'm dead and cold. That feels was great, baby. Bar. I mean, if anybody else got a bar to spit on us,
yeah.
Let's get it.
Oh, I would love I feel like I would have to quit radio forever if I had like five different callers just come in and drop bars on us, just drop rhymes and rap verses. I would have to walk out because there's just that. In my opinion, there'd be nothing.
Well,
nothing
see you better. Later.
Yep,
nothing more to prove.
I got a lot of stuff to do after this. This is gonna be my last question.
Taking an early look at Kansas City. I mean, I know they don't move Sherman around, but who draws Tyreek? How do they defend?
Well, I think that's the one thing where you're a little, like, scared when it comes to Sherman, just because he is, you know, he has been able to beat deep sometimes because he is so physical. He is so long. He is so lengthy.
Like, to match speed, you're going to have to use strength, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle him, but this is where the two-week factor comes in. And Andy Reid, think about it. Andy Reid's one of the best guys in the NFL that if he has extra time, the game plan. But I think Kyle Shanahan is right up there with him.
I think you're right. And the scary thing about Kansas City is that Tyreek Hill has a carbon copy almost on that team. It's Mecole Hardman. I mean, there's guys all over this field that can burst through his speed. I mean, a guy named Pringle can burst through his speed. Mm. Sammy Watkins can burst through his speed. I mean, Kelsey is a fast, dominant tight end. We're not even talking about this. The tight end matchup we're going to see in the Super Bowl.
Maybe the two best in the
and
NFL.
We have 2 weeks to get. We have two weeks to get
to
that.
The NFL.
We have 2 weeks to get to that. But
I want to hear from Richard Sherman. I want to hear. Yeah. Because our boy Joe has some sound, and I didn't get to see this because this was on ESPN with Josina Anderson after the game, where Richard Sherman, I guess, was laying down some facts.
Well, the last Super Bowl I went to, my son was in her belly, and he didn't get to see it. And, you know, I really wanted my son to see me play in the Super Bowl, and it means a lot. You know, he gets to see me play in it. And the other day, he told me I played a really good game, and that was one of the biggest compliments I ever got. You know, that's what it's about. It gives you perspective. You know, I appreciate Raheem, the offense, all my teammates, the D-line, Shanahan, Saleh, Hightower. You know, it's a group effort. Lynch, everybody contributed to this win and this season, man. I'm thankful, and we're grateful.
I mean, wow, Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I think that's playing for more than just himself. I mean, those are things. I mean, like when your dad texts us in our group chat we have and says, the show was fun, the show sounded great. Yeah. Like, I feel like Richard Sherman.
Yeah. Well, it's I think those life lessons, right? Where having guys like that, and sometimes it's easy to say, oh, that's corny or whatever stuff like that.
If you say it's corny, then you never played a sport.
Yeah, and sports, it's like you need life. Those guys like that to kind of show you some stuff. And, you know, we need guys like this on the text line saying, is Dibs on the air right now? You get more Dibs. People say you sound like Dan Dibley almost every time we're on the air together.
I've gotten that at least six times.
I don't hear it personally.
I think we just both have kind of raspy voices.
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes! I just naturally have a voice like this. It's not like I was screaming at the game or anything.
No.
I'm just always kind of raspy. Shout out, that text comes from the famous 707, home of Tommy Call.
Yes, sir.
We got a quick question from the other 707. They said, "Does Raheem?"
We got a lot of 707 on the text line right now. I love it.
On the air, does Raheem become the bell cow clear back next year? Well, I would say let's see the Super Bowl first. Let's see how they play that.
I don't think the 49ers offense. I don't think Kyle Shanahan. I don't think he needs a bell cow.
I think he wants to ride a hot hand.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that people who maybe. You know, it's like one of those buzzwords when it comes to football. It's like, oh, he's the hot hand. You got to play the hot hand when it comes to the running back. Kyle Shanahan is taking that motto, that mentality, and literally showing it to the world and being like, this is how it's done. Yeah. I've never seen – I mean, Raheem Mostert dominating
in the talking NFC about what he
Championship.
Did. I mean, that's the thing about this team. I talked about it earlier. This team in the locker room, do they really need Jimmy Garoppolo and Richard Sherman, all these guys to really be quote-unquote leaders, or Joe Staley and Richard Sherman maybe is a better example, being the veteran leaders? I mean, these guys play every single game like it's week 8, just another game. It doesn't matter. They don't add the magnitude and hype into it on a grand level. I mean, Raheem Mostert walked into the NFC Championship, a guy that's been cut, what, 4 or 5 times?
I think more than that. And Miami Dolphins cut him.
Played it like another damn game.
Yeah, and you know, I want to hear from Raheem Mostert. I know Joe has some sound from the post game press conference because I was there, and watching Raheem Mostert talk. He was asked at one point going, hey, have you ever had a night like this in your career? Like back in high school, did you ever rush for 200 and whatever many yards and four touchdowns? And he was like, no, I was a receiver.
Wow.
So I didn't do that. And they were like, so even in college? And he was like, I had a pretty good game against Illinois. He went to Purdue, and, you know, in the Big Ten. But he's like, I had a pretty good game against Illinois. I don't really remember. You're telling me Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers offensive line
gave this his best statistical day, and it came in the NFC Championship.
NFC Championship.
Not even like Pop Warner or middle school.
It's crazy. And just hearing everything he had to say, you know, it was very emotional. And he was asked about, you know, breaking the NFC Championship all-time rushing record, like that he was close to it. And he was like, I can't believe you just said that to me. That's the type of person that this guy is. And
a
I want to hear.
Probably never even broke high school records.
It's crazy. And so here is Raheem Mostert after the game.
Did you know that you were getting close to Eric Dickerson's playoff record for a single game?
No, I did not, actually. And truthfully, for you to even say that right now is like, I'm still shocked. Like, I can't believe that Eric Dickerson is the ultimate, you know, running back. And it's a guy that I look up to. Even all the other running backs, you know, even with Frank Gore, you know, to even be mentioned, you know, with somebody like Eric Dickerson, that's unbelievable.
Wow, I mean, the praise that he's giving these guys, that he's now in the same conversation after an individual games effort, is just so remarkable, literally from top to bottom. We've talked about it all night. Like, Shanahan, O-line, the running back by committee. I mean, these guys are all invested in this running attack.
It's crazy because I think if you were to just talk to the casual football fan who's hasn't watched at all this season and is tuning in for the big games this weekend and things like that, and might know a little bit about some of the plays fantasy football, right? You're like, Raheem Mostert, who is this guy? And he did what in the NFC Championship? You talk to Raheem Mostert after the game, and he's like, I'm shocked.
I got a perfect example of that then. A FanDuel Daily Fantasy, we love to play that.
We love it.
I played with a group of buddies from back home, and they were texting in our group chat that when Tevin Coleman went down, the Niners were in trouble. And I'm like, well, clearly you don't watch enough 49er football because this running back by committee is dominant. And oh, guess what? Raheem Mostert has probably been the one that we looked at as like he's the most consistent, most dominant, and probably the best back they have.
Yeah.
If you're saying it's Tevin Coleman, you probably have recency bias of last week.
No doubt. Yeah.
And to add more to this running back by committee, they went on to say, well, with Tevin Coleman out, Mostert's going to get tired. No, they have other backs they can throw in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Breida, I mean, obviously didn't play that much tonight. I think he had one carry.
He's not looking 100%. That's for sure.
And
he had one
line, by the
carry
way,
for 2 yards.
They're talking about Jerick McKinnon if he has a role on this team next year.
I mean, I'm so very surprised we're getting a lot of running back questions for the future where we are looking not even far enough ahead to 2 weeks. Where
we're trying to figure out what the running
back
situation.
Think about this, people. Listen to this. The San Francisco 49ers are headed to Super Bowl 54. In 2020. This is a real statement. This is a fact. Soak that up. Don't worry about next year.
We're trying to figure
live
out
in the now, baby.
Who's going to be the hot hand of the running back they roll with in the Super Bowl? That's what we're still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Maybe Josh in San Jose can answer that for me, but I know
Josh,
I know we called for other reasons. Josh, the floor is yours.
You know what, man? I worked at Levi Stadium, man. You know, I can't celebrate like all the other fans, but, you know, I need, like, it was magical, dude. Like, the fans were roaring, dude. It was, I have no other word but magical, dude. Yeah. And Super Bowl bound, you know. I'm only 35 years old, man. I've seen the 49ers go to 3 Super Bowls in my lifetime, dude. But it was magical, dude. It was magical. That's all I got to say, dude.
Wow.
Love it, Josh.
I just want to say one other thing. Patrick Mahomes is going to be very, very hard to beat, but, you know, he's only one man, and, you know, we got a whole team.
Respect. Wow. Coming from a Niner fan himself, admitting it. Are we seeing the best possible matchup in the Super Bowl? The best defense and probably the best offense?
Probably the two best teams, maybe. I mean, the Ravens had a say, of course, you know.
But what makes this
but without
so
Patrick
enticing,
Mahomes getting injured, you can make the argument that the Chiefs have been the best team.
Yeah, you're right
AFC.
About that.
Yeah.
But what makes this so enticing is that, like, both these teams – are just so different. You're seeing every brand of football on one stage.
Yeah, you are. And it's listening to Josh talk there, it just makes me think. And you could tell that Josh
was gonna cry,
was struggling to find his words. And talking about it was emotional. And I think a lot of 49er fans, you're like thinking like, all right, man, spit it out. But at the same time, you vibe with that because you know. I think he spoke for a lot of fans when he was just saying it's magical, and he just was at a true loss for words. Because realistically, think about it, people. This team had 4 wins last year. 4 wins.
It's a chance and to we're heading love your team
to
again.
Coach the Senior Bowl at this time. I was really fired up. It was my first Senior Bowl down there. I love the draft. I'm heading out to Alabama tomorrow for my second Senior Bowl.
Less than 24 hours from
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'll be on a plane. Heading out there for some more football, a whole week of football. But I was really fired up to go, you know, watch Kyle Shanahan and stuff. And I talked to so many prospects, and it was about what would it mean to play for a coach like Kyle Shanahan? That was my standard question. Or, you know, if you're on Kyle Shanahan's team at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, like, what are you going to learn? I was talking to Gardner Minshew, I remember, and just being like, hey, you're on Kyle Shanahan's team. This is a guy that's across the NFL, regardless of record, known as this offensive guru. What does that mean? And everybody's eyes would light up. And I talked to Debo Samuel.
So they understood the magnitude of playing for Kyle.
And I talked to Debo Samuel about the same exact thing. And look at these guys now. And it's funny, that label of offensive guru, where it almost seems at a point where it's a good thing and a bad, where it's like it's a hype level good thing, it's a surface level good thing, if that makes sense. Because look what Kyle Shanahan is doing to these quote unquote offensive gurus. I mean, lighting them up, embarrassing them. I mean, he smacked around Matt LaFleur.
I mean,
He's showing that it's his league. Sean McVay is an afterthought in the NFC West. This is Kyle Shanahan's league. He's by far proving he's one of the best coaches in the NFL, and I firmly believe that from the bottom of my heart. I mean, if there was a handful of guys that you would want to resurrect your franchise, Kyle Shanahan's at the top of many, many fan bases'
100%. List. His ability to – we say it's a copycat league. How he changes the game – you had the take before the year. You said teams are going to start running the ball more.
Yeah.
And we still don't know if you're exactly right, but I'll tell you what. The Niners, the most dominant team, has proven that they can win at a high level – running the football. And that's just what Kyle's doing. I mean, Kyle, they have this quarterback that they love and they trust him and everything. They have a running back by committee and they're dominating the ground game.
They're the best run team in the NFL.
Like, what more can you ask out of this offense? Yeah. It's probably the Jimmy
aspect. The Tennessee Titans, they're a great running team and they made it to their conference title game. A massive dub for them. But they were solely dependent on Derrick Henry. But I just want to say real quick, I see the clock flashing at me. We have 5 minutes left on the program. 5 minutes left. Our phone lines are completely open. Our boss has told us specifically, if you guys want to keep going, if you get phone calls.
No, they told me you're not done until the calls are done.
So right now, the show is over in 5 minutes. Unless you pick up the phone right now, you're driving home from work, you're driving home from the game, you're driving home from your family's house, watching the game, whatever.
It's a holiday tomorrow. You might be up listening.
You got 20 minutes left on your drive home. You want Nash and I to stay on the air for those 20 minutes? Give us a call.
Even
it's
if
as
it's
simple
one
as that.
Individual
888-957-9570. You know the number.
It
give
can
us
be
a
just
call,
one
baby.
Because
we don't want to go home.
No, I got to be back here at 9 in the morning. Yeah. I might just stay all night.
Yeah, why not?
I might wear this
fit
again.
I'm flying out of SFO tomorrow. Maybe I'll just stay all night. I need my bag.
Oh, man. Maybe we can have somebody send it. Some people in the 707 drive down, drop it off.
Yeah. The 707 always got my back. I mean, I got a text right here from the 707 saying, you know, I was happy and expecting an 8-8 team. I think a lot of 49er fans, if you flip the script and you said, hey, how about this year I'll give you 8 wins? And you would have said, yeah, I'll accept that,
that
no
means
doubt.
Probably 10 next year if everything goes as planned.
Yeah, exactly. You're going, yeah, that's a pretty big deal for us, so we'll take it.
They were a year
away.
And
now you're playing for the Super Bowl. This is a thing that you tell your grandkids about.
I have an interesting text from the 650, and it goes back to our running back conversation. Yeah. That is the storyline of the day.
Ooh, Kyle, I see some callers popping up. Don't let it stop, baby. Triple OT.
Kyle was forced to give Mostert all the carries. Kyle's biggest weakness is his loyalty to Coleman. And I don't know if that's a weakness. Yeah. I think he's just rolling with the guy that's been in those games. And we learned tonight, he tried going back to his guy that he can trust, but Mostert proved that he can play in these big moments, that he can play like it's any other given night. And, you know, we got calls loading up. My guy Joe in the back, by the way, has been here all night. He's trying to take all these calls, but he also controls the board. So I can't take your calls until he gets all
the guys
on hold.
Rack up, baby.
So
they're flashing up.
Sit there. Dave's driving over
to
the game.
We appreciate you, people. Stay on hold. We'll get you.
Dave stayed at the stadium later than our own post game did. I love that.
Wow.
We got
getting
Dub
after
in
it.
Vegas. Stay there, guys. We're going to get to you. We got to let Joe do the double duties back there. So we'll get to you guys. I just can't believe the vibe, by the way. Let's take a moment to talk about that once again.
Man. Yeah, you were out there mixing it up in the crowd. I want to know how that was.
327, brother. I mean, we sit there right behind the end zone. Yeah. The all 22 view. Dude, I walk up there. That's the big deck that has the big video monitor. Man, once it was a blowout with Lil Jon performing at halftime, it felt like I was at a party.
Yeah.
I mean, the 408 Empire, they always show up. I literally texted my parents. They knew I was at the game.
You're saying, hey, man, I got to start flirting with some lady behind me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there was ladies. There was cool people out there. It was one of those.
You said you were going to start shooting your shot.
I mean, I shot a couple shots.
Yeah.
But, dude, it's one of those vibes. It was so loud. I feel like I couldn't even hear at times. And even when the game was a blowout, everyone was still invested.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Lil Jon was performing. They started playing.
You said Lil Jon was fantastic.
Lil Jon was on fire, man. Yeah. I mean, he got the crowd involved, and he did a little, Niners! Out of between. It was pretty hard. Let's go out to Dave. Dave, first question while you have the stage. How are you still driving home from the game? Do you live far, or do you stay late and do the post-tailgate party?
Dude, we did the post-tailgate party.
Attaboy.
Let's just say I packed on a couple of pounds since I got out of the Marine Corps back in 2004.
Attaboy.
So needless to say, you know, if you ever met a Marine who's, you know, been to Camp Pendleton, there's a little mountain called Mount Mother, and there's the rest of it, right? So I was up in that section.
Down in San Diego, right?
Yep, exactly. And the reason why you say that is because by the time you're halfway up it, you're like, mother, you know what? And because you still have the rest of the thing to go.
Yeah.
Well, going up to Levi's, today was my first time walking in from the blue lot, which is no joke in itself if you ain't walking every day, man. But I stroll, you know, music's bumping, weed, you know, in the air, barbecue's in the air.
So you're cutting through the tailgate scene.
Exactly.
It's a must-do, by the way. I did that last game.
Blood pumping. Exactly. And, you know, like I said, my last Niner game was when Navarro put out the light at Candlestick, man. So this was an extra special night. We brought a good luck charm, my 7-year-old nephew, you know, big George Kittle fan. So everything was lined up tonight for this to happen.
Wow, boy.
Hey, we appreciate your service, too, Dave. We appreciate that, man.
Yeah, no big deal, man. I had a good time.
Attaboy.
Dave, he was driving
Dave.
Home from the game.
Yeah, I was so today I kind of...
You don't get the luxury of doing that too often, huh?
No, well, so today I always stop by your guys', you know, the pregame setup with 95.7 The Game at the Hilton. I got to say what up to the squad out there. Usually get suited up, say what's up to everybody. This time and then I just kind of beeline. I run late. It's just a little pulling back the curtain a little bit for the people here. I'm one of those. I'm a late guy. It's something that I'm trying to work on about things. I don't love it about myself.
You're also
but
working on trying to book your own flights, not other people doing for
you.
Yeah.
So I just run late to things. Let's be honest. And but today I was early. I was so fired up to get down to Levi Stadium that I was a little early. And what I did with that time is I walked around the tailgate a little bit. I wanted to get some videos for the gram, get it up there on Twitter, you know. And, man, it was crazy.
Loud,
I walked up, and I kind of just turned around, and I just looked back at everybody out there, and I was like, man, this is – I just was like, I don't think the Packers win this thing. Right when I stepped on the ground, I just, you know, like, Nash, we're big believers in things like the team of destiny and momentum and all those types of, all those things that go into sports, those outside factors that don't show up on the stat sheet, things like that. And again, it just, I don't know, man. I felt it right away.
I know that feeling. I mean, we don't get the luxury of walking through it. I mean, I could if I want to, but I'm kind of hanging out the show.
Yeah.
Just staying close. You know, Bonte and Butch can be very needy. I'm helping them out, whatever.
Divas.
We take our walk through the parking lot when everyone's still kind of flowing in, but it's nice because, like, you see people setting up and how they go through their routine and, like, how they want to get there early and party. But last week I had the chance.
I love tailgating.
When I was at the hotel, our guy James Pappas runs the board for Bonte, Steiny, and Guru.
Yeah, BS and J.
I hopped in his whip and I went to go find a parking lot with him, and I walked with him and his girl all the way back. And man, we parked way over the, like, the blue lot, and we walked through the whole tailgate scene. It's like, man, they really are creating. I mean, I obviously didn't go to Candlestick or anything of that nature like that. Yeah. I can't explain that feeling.
Yeah.
Boy, can't tell
you. One of
my
first times ever tailgating was at Candlestick.
And one thing I can tell you about Levi's is it does have culture. It does have a little personality and character to it, and it's developing more and more. I mean, and tonight, I saw it even more. I mean, this team doesn't leave the game early. This team stays there all damn night. This team keeps partying.
Yeah, we're staying partying here at 95.7 The Game too. I can't believe it, man. I really can't. And like I said, you know, we like to keep it straight. We like to keep it real with you guys. You know, we're not like the biggest 49er fans in the world. We didn't grow up 49er fans like many of the people we've talked to.
We try to cover the
team. But we've
definitely
been kind of taken over by their family. All the stuff you talked about, right? Mixing it up in the fans. I've got lucky enough to be around the players and things like that. Being around Butch and Bonte and all of our guys that are around this team out of constant basis heard the stories and things like that. And to be here sitting with you guys and talking to everybody tonight, and the phone lines blown up, the texters, everything like that, man, it truly does. It just gives me goosebumps to think this team is going to a Super Bowl, man.
And
that's wild. Like, take
insane.
A second and soak that up, because it's rare, man. There's been 54 of them ever.
It's insane, man.
And your team is going to this one right
here
this
year. I promise,
wow.
Starting tomorrow, 5 a.m. pregame show with Stephen Langford. It's going to start there, and it's going to go all night long. The Niners book it. Going to Miami. Tommy Call, Nash Shulman, Joe Sedoni. We love you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.